2. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm very sorry for running late.
There we go.
The thingy off, yeah. Okay. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Adam Peake. I'm chair of the nominating committee. Thank you very much for coming today. The idea is that we wanted to have a session where people from the community, and you are people from our community, who could sit around the table and discuss the nominating committee process rather than just have the usual workshop where there's a table and people are talking to an audience. So the main thing is to try and hear from you about the issues that we're going to discuss today. One thing, when you take the microphone, please use your name to say who you are. We are being recorded and audio cast and so on, so that is extremely helpful. The people who aren't here can't see who you are, so having your name on the record is great. We're very fortunate to have Alejandro Passanti, who's going to moderate us and keep us on target. I know that quite a lot of you have to leave for other meetings, and I'm sorry that the schedule has been so chopped and changed, but thank you very much for coming and making time for this. Very briefly, if we go on to the next slide, I think that's probably the best thing to do at the moment. I'll give you a very quick overview of what the nominating committee has to do this year. Our tasks, I think you probably all know that we call our application form statement of interest, and the positions that we're looking for, we have to select two members of the board of directors, and I'm sure you all know those are three-year terms. We have three members of the at-large committee, and those are representatives on a regional basis. And those are from Africa, Asia Pacific, Australia, and Latin American Caribbean, 2-year terms. Two members of the GNSO Council, 2-year terms, and one member from the CCNSO Country Code Council, 3-year terms. So that's the task before the nominating committee this year. Let me see where we are in the slides. Just to briefly introduce how we go about what the nominating committee is, I think you know, but we're a large committee. I think most of you from the community, you're here because you have sent people to this committee. There's 21 of us. The GNSO sends members, the CCNSO sends members, the ASO sends members, the ALAC sends members, the SSAC sends members. We are representative, I think, of almost all of the community, and that is extremely important because we need your outreach. I think this is also a self-protecting mechanism in that we monitor each other. We are a confidential process, so there is an internal monitoring by having the size and complexity of this particular organization. And of course, we also have to have strong outreach so that we can find people to become candidates. Our goal is, of course, to find the strongest possible candidates for these positions that we select for. We began our work in the Cartagena meeting. NOMCOMs are appointed from the AGM to AGM. So we're the 2011 NOMCOM, but we began in Cartagena 2010. We opened our request for candidates on December the 17th, and we will close on April 4. So far, I think we have 42 candidates, it may be 43, and I believe two of those are female, and I will keep emphasizing that because we believe very strongly in diversity in ICANN, and one area of diversity that is probably not being satisfied is gender diversity. That is my opinion, and you may agree or disagree, but anyway, it's on the record. And so last year, just to emphasize that point, Wolfgang Kleinwächter, who's my advisor this year, Wolfgang was the chair of 2010, 82 candidates in the pool, 4 were women. And, of course, one of them was selected to the board of directors and is doing a great job now. So well done, Wolfgang. But, we do want more female candidates. So we have this first process of can we go to the next slide, I think? So we have this first process of recruitment, and that's the process we're in now, and we'll come back to this right at the end of the meeting in sort of 80 minutes' time, because we do want your help in thinking of candidates. And we simply sort of rattle the trees, and we talk to our friends, and we talk to all of you, saying, please find the best possible candidates for ICANN. After that, April the 4th, Not entirely. We start assessing candidate statements as soon as they come in, but after April the 4th, our real assessment work begins. And we do that in two or three different stages. We, of course, read the statements, we look at the references, and we chase the references that we ask for to make sure we have as much information as possible about the candidates. And we also use a recruiting company. I should double back and say, this year we're using a recruiter in two ways, management recruitment. Typically, the nominating committee has done a selection process where we interview around about 40 people, and that is done by management consultancy that is expert in human relations and human resources and interviewing for particularly director level positions. This year we are also experimenting with using the recruiter to try and find us candidates. And this is the first time the nominating committee has done that. Whether or not it will be a success, we don't know, but it has been mentioned to us enough times that we felt we should try it. We're learning. If it works well, you will all see a report on it. If it does not work so well, we won't do it again. Nominating committees have typically experimented with different ways of finding candidates. For example, advertising in The Economist and International Herald Tribune was tried 1 year, but not tried again. We'll see how the recruiter works. But the process from April is to begin assessing candidates. And at this point, I'd like to pass over to Wolfgang, who has great experience from last year, who can say how that went forward and the process we used for assessing candidates. So, Wolfgang, if you'd like to cut in with some World Cup examples or whatever it was, that would be great. The assessment process and the World Cup analogy would be...
You know, this year it's my fifth NOMCOM, and, you know, over the years you get some experience in the NOMCOM, and one of the biggest challenges is how to handle applications in the size of 70, 80, or 90. And because, you know, each candidate... thinks certainly twice before he sends in an SOI, and so this is a big challenge for the members of the nomination committee, because they have to take very individual application very seriously, and it has to be very carefully assessed. So the methodology which has emerged over the years is that we distribute among the NOMCOM members the various candidates for first analysis and then second deep diving. So we have smaller groups which look in particular in the SOI of the candidates and the references and try to find out some additional background, so that we have a first view and say, you know, will this candidate, you know, do they have the qualification, do they have the skills to serve in one of the various positions. However, you know, you have to find a way to trim a number of 80 down to at least 3 or 4 or 5 candidates for the various positions. This time we have 8 positions, but only 2 positions for the board. So what we introduced last year was that we said, okay, what I have labeled last year, it was the World Championship in football, called the World Cup approach. The World Cup approach is they have a first round where you have 32 teams, and then the second round is only 16, and then you go to the quarterfinal and to the semifinal and then to the final. But it means you have to eliminate some candidates to find out what are the right candidates. And I think this is what we did in a way that we created, you know, various baskets, red, yellow, and green. And then, you know, we had a first voting, and where the majority of the NOMCOM members were in favor of green, so they moved to the next level, and where the majority of the members said, okay, probably this candidate in the special constellation of the year is not the ideal candidate, then he remained in the red basket. And then we had some candidates in between, the so-called yellow basket, and then we discussed very individually, you know, what is the plus and the minus and whether it makes sense that this candidate goes also to the next round. And so we trimmed it down from 80 to 40, from 40 to 20, and then we had in the final, we had then 10 candidates. But here's a very great exception, which is different from the World Cup. When you are out in the World Cup, you are out. When you are out in our approach, you are not really out, because each NOMCOM member has a right until the very last moment to bring one of the candidates who are in the red basket back, because sometimes if you make a decision in favor of this one candidate, to rebalance this, you need somebody else, you know, which then probably was already eliminated and then has a chance to come back. So that means no candidate is out, even if a candidate is not interviewed. So he should not have the feeling that he is not considered furthermore. Sometimes we say this candidate is so clear, there is no need for an interview, because interviewing means also efforts and we have to pay for the consultant, so we try to keep the number in a certain size so that we do not spend senseless money for it. So I think this is important, that you as a potential candidates understand the internal methodology, you know, how the NOMCOM works. So, and I can only assure you from all the five NOMCOMs where I have served that it's difficult to find another committee, not only in ICANN, but also in other bodies, ISOC or IETF or what else, who are working with nomination committees, where the individual candidates are so seriously analyzed and assessed, and every individual statement is taken really very seriously, and we understand very well that this is not an easy decision for a candidate to write an SOI. We take this very seriously. On the other hand, it's very understandable if you have 80 candidates and just two or three seats for the board, not everybody can make it. So that's why we have the principle of confidentially, because the principle of confidentially is not a principle of conspiracy, it's a principle which protects the candidate, because there is a huge difference between selection.
Excuse me, please. Can you please not bang on the table? It breaks the eardrums for people who are listening remotely.
Okay, sorry for that. Anyhow, you know, I have. Yeah. Sometimes when I was a chair, you have to use the table, you know, to make your voice heard. So, but I'm only the advisor, so I will keep my hands under control. Anyhow, you know, what I wanted to make clear is that the principle of confidentiality, which is in the bylaws of the ICANN, you know, is a principle which protects the candidate, and there's a huge difference between selection and election. We had in ICANN elections in the year 2000. Election means public campaign. You know, try to get support from various constituencies. Everybody knows you are a candidate. But in the elections, there are winners and losers, because this is in the public. While in the selection process, nobody knows that you apply. If you disclose it, it's your business. But the NOMCOM will treat your information very confidentially. Also, that you have applied for the job is very confidentially. So that means in a selection process, there are no winners and losers, because everybody has more or less an equal chance. And if it's not selected, very often this has nothing to do with the specific skills of the candidate, but with the balance of a committee in this very concrete year. If we have too many technical persons in the board, and we are missing diplomatic skills, then a high qualified technical person probably would have a bad chance, and a diplomatic skilled person has a better chance. But the other year, when two technical skilled people have left the board, the situation is already different. So that means it changes from year to year. And insofar, the principle of confidentiality protects the candidate, that nobody knows at the end, if you are not selected, that you have, quote unquote, lost. You have nothing lost. You did not fit into the scheme of the given year, and we just encourage you then also to reapply the other year. And Jean-Jacques Suprenat is a very good example, because he did not make it in the first year when he applied, but he made it in the second year. And there's all, not only the board, but there are also other committees which are very important, and also Jean-Jacques is here a fantastic example, because after 3 years in the board, like Wanda, so then they moved for 2 years in the at-large advisory committee, and we have also the other two councils. And in so far, you know, this World Cup approach is just an instrument, a tool, you know, to make the whole procedure workable, so to trim it down. But I think until the very last moment, every candidate has the same chance, and he should not get the impression, even if he's not interviewed, if he gets not an invitation to the interview, that he's already out. Thank you.
Thanks, Wolfgang. I think the one thing I want to emphasize on that is that candidates are still part of the process right up until we're holding our selection meeting, which in this year will be in Singapore. The fact that if you know people who are candidates, if they tell you they've not been interviewed, that does not mean that they will not necessarily be perhaps selected for a position later on. What we're trying to do for every candidate, and I think this has been the case for all nominating committees, is to be as informed as possible about everybody who's in the pool. Just before Alejandro takes over and starts to moderate the session, I saw that Marilyn had a comment, and if you want to just raise your hands as you have something to say, then please do so. Marilyn, I think you want to say something?
I would just like to understand how we're going to proceed. I was a little confused.
What we'd like to try and do is give a brief introduction of what we do and how we do it, which I hope we've done a little bit so far. We have Brian Cute here who was a member of the ATRT and had specific recommendations for the nominating committee. I thought it would be interesting to hear those as perhaps food for thought around the table. And then it's open to the floor of questions that you may have on this particular issue, being how do we work, what do you want to know more, how can we improve, ideas that you certainly around transparency that we wish to hear about. For example, I can tell you we just had a blog post today, which is something that hasn't really happened very much before. It's an attempt to do something more transparent. And then we move on to the second set of issues, which is what are the needs that the NomCom should be addressing in candidates? And I know everybody's quite tight for time, so if that's a bit of a helpful explanation of how to proceed. Jean-Jacques?
May I interrupt for a second?
Please.
For the remote audience, it would be interesting to know how many people we have here, and I will tell you that this is Alejandro Pisanti speaking, by the way. We have about 30 people in the room, and I would like for a show of hands of who are NomCom members. I would say that 20 out of the 30 count. So we'll have about 10 people who are not NomCom members.
About 40.
Well, that's my
NomCom has a maximum of 21 members.
Okay, okay, Wolfgang, why don't we change this a little bit? I'll hand you over a precise count, so I'll beg you to report me the exact number of NomCom members who are present, and they'll do an approximate count and an approximate difference anyway.
NomCom members, stick your hands up, I think is a good example.
And we have Wolfgang counting. So there's a little bit more than half the room is NomCom members, 17. And I guess that most of the remote audience is not NomCom members. But we don't have an exact figure here in my view. So moving forward, I think that we had Jean-Jacques, and we are calling on Brian Cute for the ATRT recommendations in order to really have a broader basis for the discussion.
Thank you. Just for the purpose of time management, I was asked to come here to speak as someone who's gone through the process of being a candidate, etc. So just for purposes of my own time management, do you want me to speak later on in what segment will I come in? Right. This is Jean-Jacques Subrenard. I'd like to say three things. First, challenges. Two, purpose. Three, NOMCOM. Challenges. I think that there are several ways of serving the community in ICANN, and certainly the one which is through the NOMCOM appears to me one of the most important. Especially to the board, I would say that I, as someone who benefited from that kind of nomination, felt that I had a degree of liberty, perhaps, in my judgment and when voting, which everyone told me they had also, but at times, in the most nitty-gritty part of the discussions, I felt perhaps I had just a little bit more than they did. I think that what's interesting in the challenges before ICANN, it's that it's not about the organization. It's about the first infrastructure in world history which is as global as it is. So this underlines the extent of the responsibility we can wield or we can assume, at least potentially, in a position, especially on the board here. My second point is about purpose. I'm impressed by the fact that both when I was a candidate, but also since then, people have come to me saying, oh, you're from the board, or you were on the board. And the first thing which comes up is workload. True. But I would like to underline that that's not the main feature one should point out. And you as NOMCOM, I think, whereas it is honest for you to tell potential candidates that there is a certain workload, I think that it can be overdone. So I would advise that it's only one of the aspects. The proof to what I'm saying is that it can be modulated according to whether you are an up-and-coming COO bent on becoming the next CEO of your enterprise, and therefore you can only consecrate maybe 10 hours a week to ICANN, or if you are a retired person like myself, and you can give much more time to that, and included in working groups, etc., etc. So I think that that is very important. And I would advise that candidates should be encouraged to look at the purpose of their engagement in ICANN, whether it's on the board or elsewhere, rather than concentrating or being attracted by the process. This may sound a bit naive, but it isn't. I experienced it. I think that they should be driven, and you should encourage them to be driven by their purpose before being driven by an attraction for process. My last point is about the NOMCOM itself. I already mentioned that I believe it is one of the most important elements in the ICANN structure. Its importance, it is important today for ICANN. That's obvious. I just mentioned the independence. But I would like to underline that it is also important for the future for ICANN, but beyond ICANN, and this is something perhaps you don't hear every day, it is potentially important for civil society in general, because you are the manufacturers and the producers of a process and of a type of nomination which is quite original. Things are moving. Today we see that governments have less neglect and disdain for this thing called ICANN than, let's say, 5 or 10 years ago. There is a return of the sovereign state interest for ICANN through the GAC, and the AOC has contributed to that. So for all those reasons, I would say that in a system, in a world system where the conundrum today is either sovereign states or civil society, in between the two or above those two, you have another model which is emerging and which you are contributing to reinstating as a world-class model, and that is the mixed or the multi-stakeholder model. And I think that's the importance also of what you're doing. Thanks.
We would have Brian Cutes, participation, please.
Thank you very much for having me here today. I appreciate the opportunity to share some views with you. I have to first state, obviously, as a former chair of the ATRT, the ATRT no longer exists. So I'm speaking solely in my personal capacity. And what I hope to do briefly is just share some background and views about our discussions that might put some context into the recommendations that are on the page. For those of you who had the good sense to not listen to all of our working sessions, this might be a benefit for you. If I err in any way, I'm sure that Cheryl will instantly correct me on my own memory and interpretation. We were chartered under the affirmation of commitments to check on the following, as I'm sure you know, assessing and improving ICANN Board of Directors governance, which shall include an ongoing evaluation of board performance, the board selection process, the extent to which the board composition meets ICANN's present and future needs, and the consideration of an appeal mechanism for board decisions. We do have recommendations that, as you know, would impact the NOMCOM process. In terms of timeline, under the AOC, the board needs to take action by June, or 6 months after the report was rendered. So by June, the board needs to take action on our recommendations. There were two related to the GAC that we accelerated to the March time frame, and one that was an immediate recommendation for immediate implementation. We're expecting, and when I say we, it's not the ATRT again, the community is expecting a report, a status report from the board at this meeting on the status of all the recommendations, including the NOMCOM specific recommendations. I would encourage all of you to look carefully at the status report. And then in June, we need to take a close look, the community, at the action taken by the board on these recommendations. A couple of context thoughts. In our discussions, one of the things we certainly considered was the size of the board. We discussed whether or not the board performance could be improved by shrinking it, maintaining it. Not too many were thinking about enlarging it. But one of the things we recognized as a group was the board is comprised of directors who come from two effective sources, one from a community or constituencies within the community source, and one that come from the NOMCOM, and a relatively quick recognition that if we were to try to tinker with the size, that the community has a strong connected sense to any rough representative aspect of directors that come from the community, and that if we were to tinker with that, we could open up some ugly boxes that we don't want to open. And the second thought is that the recommendations we made with respect to specific skill sets, we did have some discussion points broadly at the beginning. We did consider things such as existing professional associations of professional directors as being a source of candidates. They do exist. I only offer this to underscore the fact that we felt very strongly about the need to diversify and in some ways elevate the skill sets of the directors across the board. And there was also, running out of the analysis of the size of the board, a quick recognition that while aspirationally the recommendations that we made about the skill sets that the board needs going forward and the identification of those skill sets, that the NOMCOM represented the easiest and most natural place to begin that process. Also with an understanding that this meant this wasn't going to happen overnight either. This was going to take time. So those are really the discussion points that I think add a little context to what you see on the paper. I've seen the reaction of the NOMCOM to our recommendations, and Adam's been kind enough to point out a few questions that were raised along the way, but I'll stop there, and if anyone has any questions, I'm happy to answer them.
Ms. Cave, your second intervention today.
And this one on substance. My question is, Do you have an estimated time of arrival for the status report?
No. But one should be issuing this during this meeting.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Fatimata.
Yes, thank you very much. Fatimata Seisila from Afralo. I would just like to discuss one issue. This is related to female application to the NOMCOM, to be a NOMCOM member. Jean-Jacques talked about the workload, and I will also maybe add the language issue, the working language. I think that's, you know, kind of a barrier for a woman to be more involved. When you talk about workload, everybody here knows that we have more workload than men. When you go to the families, and mainly for developing countries, I'm talking for Africa and for all the developing countries, no matter the level of education we have, we still have, you know, proper workload at home, no matter the professional status we have. So maybe we should look into how we can improve that, how we can change and have more female candidates. 42 this year, 84 last year. I mean, so it's only two women
so far.
So far, yeah. Yeah, not finished, but it's two, and we have 42. And last time it was four 82. Yeah. So, I mean, we have an issue here, and we really need to look into it and see how we can improve. We can still talk about it around and try to have more come on board, but we still have those questions, those issues to address. Thank you.
Brian and Mike Palich.
Thank you, if I may. And this did come up in discussion. And speaking for myself, I have to say I was quite embarrassed when it was pointed out to me that we did not speak to this issue, diversity and diversity in gender in our recommendations. It was one of those moments where you kind of wince and think, how did we miss that? But I think I can speak with a fair amount of confidence for all of the members that this would be a notion that would be very strongly supported. It goes without saying.
Mike Palich.
One of the challenges our chair gave us this week was to try to come up with two candidates by the end of the week, and I think I'm potentially working on two new female candidates. So that was my mission, and I hope to deliver on that. So I'm looking to double what we have in the current pool. So that, I don't want to claim mission accomplished just yet, but it is something that I think has been stressed by our chair and is widely acknowledged by the group.
Marilyn.
I'm really going to support your comment as I hear this so much when I am in a...
Sorry, for the benefit of the remote audience, can
Marilyn
you say
Kate.
Who's... No, yeah, this is Marilyn Kate who's going to be who's
Thank
speaking,
you.
But can you state the name of the person whose comment you're supporting?
Oh, sorry, this is Marilyn Kate, and I'm responding to Fatima's comment. But I would, while I recognize and really support that, I think that my observation would be, and I was on the nominating committee in the past, I'm the chair of the business constituency, and we've been very pleased to have had consistent representation and active and interested representation from our constituency. It is a role that our members are extremely committed to ensure that we are participating. I think I would say that we actually have not perfected our technique of how we reach and groom and support candidates. And I'm going to say that about women as well as about men. it's a message I give every time I speak on this, and I regret I'm giving it again. I think we have got to shift our priority and focus on the recruitment of candidates to all of the positions and actually not let ourselves be dominated by the focus on the board, nor should we let the candidates drive us to that. And that is what I see every time. When I try to recruit, and even when I talk individually to many of you, maybe even unconsciously, you always tell me about your struggle to find good candidates for the board. I would urge you to really think about the grooming and supporting and learning environment and leading in the other organizations, which actually are so critical to whether or not this organization is successful and real. And we need more diversity of thought and women in those other organizations, particularly in the GNSO, I think. I think the ALAC is a little bit better, and I think the CCNSO is better.
Ms. Cheryl Langdonor.
Thank you, Cheryl Langdonor, and perfect segue from Marilyn's. Thank you very much. What often happens is we are thinking very similar along similar lines. One thing I did want to point out, following on from what Brian was saying with the diversity challenge he needed to react to, rest assured the ATRT did talk about diversity, and I did, as the female representative in that space, raised the gender issue. And when we were discussing matters such as having the NOMCOM pursue external sources of candidature, we were looking at not just board readiness in one gender or another. There are plenty of organisations, and of course looking at someone to go out and source people, it's really up to you to put up what your specifications are. The overwhelming agreement was that it was the quality of the individual to be fit for purpose for the task. That is not a diversity of any form issue. What I'd like to see is that the result of that also gives us diversity, be that language, be that regional geographically, or be that gender. Thank you.
I think we have Fuad Bajwa in line now.
Fuad Bajwa from Pakistan, member of AP RALO at large. I've been putting considerable thought into the fact that, first, the gender issue, about getting gender participation from our part of the world in Asia. Because we do Asia, the Asian region, the Asian Pacific region, and Australian region, together, we do constitute a major portion of the total percentage of internet penetration as well as internet usage and consumption. And interestingly, the dynamics and the diversity of our region is very much different from the other side of the globe. And so are the income disparities, which remains factual. You would have one country where, for example, my country, Pakistan, where the income levels are so low, amazingly low, and right next to our neighbor, India, income levels would be certainly high. And then again, Bangladesh, again low income, and then so on, the Asian Pacific region, very great advancement. Now within that, if I give you an insight into Pakistan again, the IT industry was established by a woman. A woman named Jahan Ara represents the All Pakistan Software House Association. She has been the leading on the front. Another woman who promoted the whole industry globally in the media is again a Pakistani lady, and so forth. I mean, within the countries, you actually see women participating in the national economy to a great extent. And we're talking about, for such a country, and which is devastated by whatever is happening over there, you have a $2 billion industry established by this one woman. And this example goes on and on. And this is the point that these industry associations and various large organizations in Asia and the other neighboring regions, they're actually led by women. But what comes to in front of us is how do you get in touch with them? And what is it that you promote in front of them? They know the internet. They know ICANN. They've been to meetings in ICANN. But the motivation was never generated for them to further continue with ICANN. They represent the interests of the industry. They coordinate with all the global large associations, business associations, the ICC, and so forth. But why haven't we been able to attract that critical mass which can actually contribute to a great deal to ICANN? Language. My country has 57 languages. Okay, we just speak one. We speak two, like Urdu and English. But let's go to China. You will find industry leaders in China who can't even, they don't correspond in English. So has the communication for NOMCOM been made to all the industry associations, to the major technology civil society organizations, to these government departments in their language, and which is a very common practice? You know, you have a major exhibition in Germany, and they send a letter to the government, to the organizations, and so forth. And sometimes in the local language. Has this approach been utilized to promote this? And somehow, we do ask for a certain amount of hours on a weekly basis from all the candidates. And then, once again, the issue about being fit for the purpose. But at the same time, a great deal of capacity building or awareness generation will have to be brought in. Of course, I tried to talk to two women in Pakistan. One was the chair of the Standing Committee on Information Technology of the Federation of Chambers of Commerce. And she's an American Pakistani. She moved back to Pakistan. And she has been an industrialist, and she has ample time on her hand. And she even runs a 500 a network of 500 clinics for telemedicine and through teleconferencing. She utilizes internet infrastructure. And she is a person that could really be a good candidate. But there was no convincing idea in that for her to actually come into ICANN. So we actually have to create that attraction as well. Because even I work within at large on certain teams which are dealing with inreach and outreach. And these are major issues which we are facing of keeping that attraction. And the similar would go for here. If you want to bring in diversity into this, we will have to reassess our strategies, the way we make contact and the way we attract people. And I heard in Brussels, for example, I know it's a very vague thought about some form of like financial support for the amount of work the board members do and so forth. But let's look at it from another end. If you earn, like, say, $100,000 in the U.S. or maybe, like, say, £70,000 in England, in Pakistan, you'd only be earning $8,000 a year. And that would go for many countries across the region. So this is a really big question. If you look at the needs, and will people leave that? They are ready to come in. But how do we balance their expense? That remains a major factor. So these are my comments. Thank you.
I have a proposal here to reply from Shiva and one from Adam.
No,
introduce yourself.
Okay, I'm Shiva from India. Our community is an elaborately networked community, and the members of this community are on Facebook and Twitter. And why don't we encourage the community to go to their networks on Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn and make it known that specific positions, very specific messages about the positions available, about the balance that the NOMCOM is looking for. And they could spread the word, has also come up with names. And one more suggestion that I have is it's difficult for a lot of people, or they don't really spend the required amount of time to go through the process of nominating someone whom they know. Another level that can be offered to our community members is is to ask them to simply drop their names, drop the names, and the email address and contact information to NOMCOM, so that NOMCOM can take it up and follow it up and find a way to ask them to self-nominate or find someone else to nominate. And so the idea is to ask the community to generate names, generate leads, and so that should improve the number of candidates that the NOMCOM has. Thank you.
Adam?
Yeah, thank you very much. Adam Peake speaking again. Following up on those two issues, yes, we do actually have a process for taking suggestions, and if you wish to recommend somebody, then we will follow up. It's on the NOMCOM webpage, and we'll show the URL on the next slide in a moment, but it's the typical ICANN formulation of the committee, ICANN.org, so it's nomcom.icann.org, and then the word /suggest. But we'll see that in a moment, and you'll see there is an online form where you could recommend someone either anonymously or otherwise. Going back to the notion of, you know, finding people, for example, if you know the CEO of a very large Pakistan ICT organization or US organization, but you don't really know how to reach that person, we are using the management consultants I mentioned, or the recruitment consultants, Otkus Bernstein, and one of the things that they will do for us is reach people that we identify. They're professionals at doing that. If I try to reach a CEO, by the time I've blundered through his office, I've probably put him off. But these people do it for their living. That's how they get people into, you know. So if you have an idea, and it may be someone that you've heard speak, it could be someone that you know is a great person, but you don't really know how to reach them, then we think we can this year. So please let us know, and there's the information address for doing that. So I hope that sort of covers a little bit of what you were saying. Not entirely, but I think there's other issues. Remuneration is not in the nominating committee's remit, but I'd love to pay everybody. But we'll see how the board develops on that. But it's not for this year, unfortunately. Anybody else?
I have Bo in the corner. Can you? We would beg you to use a microphone because of the remote audience and the scribing.
Hi, I'm Bo Brendler, Chairman of the North American region. I wanted to thank the nominating committee for naming Mark Rotenberg. I think that was excellent. I know it's kind of a really great thing for a variety of reasons. But I wanted to also say that I do feel a little concerned about the way volunteers are perceived and treated within ICANN, and by that I'll illustrate what I mean. This was not a NOMCOM procedure, but I've been involved in two sort of relatively high-profile seeking someone for a particular opening. In one case, I was a candidate, and in one case, I was not. In the case that I was a candidate, at one point, the person who was in charge of the process stepped back and publicly said, well, we don't have, you know, we're just not getting quality candidates. And I believe that was the exact quote. I can find it if you want. And then, of course, the list of who actually did apply, given some of the transparency issues related to at-large, was made public. So you may want to consider that one of the reasons you may have trouble finding people is because I don't think that there are, or there have not been in the past, in my opinion, particularly professional standards and operations in place in trying to interview candidates. And then in the second one, where I wasn't a candidate, was kind of even worse. The requirements were not spelled out correctly. The rules were not spelled out correctly, and it became a very protracted process that everybody thought was ugly. And you know, I haven't seen a lot of really good ones happen, except Mark's. So if there's anything that I would suggest, it's just you know, I think bringing on a management consultant to help or a recruiter is good, but you know, be aware that CEOs and people like that are already amply represented throughout this. You know, this is a gathering of CEOs and people who make money off the internet. So let's make sure that the headhunters are looking for people who have something to say and have something in the game besides making money off domain name registrations.
Thank you. I have Vanda, I have inserted myself, and I have Jean-Jacques, but I'll yield to Jean-Jacques and insert myself after you. Vanda first.
Well,
Okay, just share my experience this time in the non-com. Depends on the region and the culture you are approaching. There's some fears about the knowledge that is demanded for be a candidate may appear. And this is something that it's important to reaffirm, that the knowledge is not deeply technical knowledge that we are looking for. Even for positions on the GNSO or CCNSO, what we need is also different opinions, different backgrounds to add value to the conversation and to the debate inside each community. So a lot of people that I have approached said, well, I'm not qualified for that because, you know, my background is I'm a diplomat, I'm a lawyer, or I'm a something like that. I'm a not technical people. So I do believe that it's important to reaffirm for anyone that you address is, you know, that diversity in knowledge, in profiles, is also important in this for many positions that we have open here. Thank you.
I have Jean-Jacques and then myself.
Thank you. This is Jean-Jacques Subrenard. Two remarks. One about the notion of skills set, which was brought up by Brian Cute. I think that this too may have been overblown both in the ATRT and separately by some members of the board. I think that if you think in terms of the past board, when the board members were taking care of a good portion of the functioning of ICANN, maybe that was justified. But hopefully, especially after the board review process, some of the board members will finally accept the premise that we are not there to replace the staff nor the CEO, and that a better division of labor should allow board members to be recruited also on a much more wide basis than the specialty of having invented the internet, which makes about not two or three people, but I suppose a few thousand. My second remark is about publication of position opened. I think it's Adam who mentioned that in your presentation. You said we abandoned the idea of publishing if in The Economist or whatever it was. I would very strongly be in favor of publication, not for all the positions, ALIC or whatever, but in any case, at least for the board and for CEO, by the way, because whilst I was on the board, we had the challenge of coming up with a proposal for a new CEO. And I strongly was against the solution, which was finally retained by the self-ordained selection committee, which was that they didn't want to publish at all. There was not even a call for tender from various recruiting companies. It was decided out of the blue that it would be this company, and the whole process was entrusted to one company without a public call for tenders. I object to that very strongly. The other part of that, of course, is publication. I believe that, as Vanda pointed out, it's either you can only come in if you're already a confirmed specialist. You know, you had ICANN in your mother's milk. Or you're looking for new talent, people who can relate worldwide at a worldwide level, looking at the future and not only at the past of the internet.
Thank you. Let me try to introduce a few issues which I think are useful for, having a broader view emerge from this panel and maybe look forward to into ones in future meetings. During this session, I mean, not all of them are present anymore, but no, yeah. In this session, we have five former board members, including myself, who are Vanda Scartesini, Jean-Jacques Chibrana, Michael Palich, and Phil Davidson. I hope I'm not missing anyone else. Phil Davidson, I'm particularly overjoyed to see here because he is one of the authors of the original NOMCON vision. He was on the board at the time Stuart Lynn was CEO and sparked a very major reform. Phil Davidson was about to retire. He still gave us a brilliant day of his life in Accra by writing down some important guidelines he thought should be useful for the reform process, which we later undertake. And I remember to this day his wisdom and contributions there. And one of the things that we thought about the NOMCOM at that time, which was a new idea in ICANN at the moment, was that the NOMCOM, first, what Stuart Lynn said, what he looked at, among other things, was that some people should not be on the board, should be on the board without being elected by specific communities, without carrying an interest or bearing or being standard bearers, carrying the flag for a specific community, particularly communities of interest, as has already been described here by Bo. But by people who are more guided by principle and by a broader view of the organization without having a stake in one of the communities. He called this introducing some leavening, some lightening up of the processes, some unblocking of the components of the process. One risk that was brought against this vision, which is a little bit utopian and idyllic, was brought by Amadeu Abril at the time, who was also on the board. And Amadeu said, well, you know, by creating the board, by reducing the size of the board and by creating the NOMCOM, what you're going to do is to transfer all the politics and all the horse trading that goes on, particularly in the GNSO Council, to the NOMCOM. And one of the views that, you know, this would be a real risk, of course, one of the views of this is major large-scale forward-looking institutional design 8 years ago. One of the views was that this would work if the NOMCOM had less direct representation and standard bearers of the communities of interest and more the senior statesmen on whom the community places trust. That would be the ideologues, the philosophers, the people who generate the large-scale views on which the commercial interest is predicated or on which the non-commercial interest and the stewardship function of ICANN is predicated. So one interesting thing to look at in a session like this, maybe we won't exhaust it in this occasion, but we could research this in more depth for the next ICANN meeting, is whether this vision has carried or not. If it has carried, if we really have the senior statesmen of the organization in the or of the community in the NOMCOM, if we have the people who don't have any more a vested interest, has this given place to the selection of good board members, hardworking, committed, non-divisive, but people able to negotiate and unify the views of the organization? Or have we, in effect, transferred the horse trading to the NOMCOM? And can we measure this by making a very qualitative judgment about the quality of the outcome in the long run? Have we had a better informed ICANN board, increasingly better informed over the years, increasingly wise, or are we still struggling with what the board has to be, what skill sets have to be involved? And the skill sets goes far beyond, you know, some accounting or auditing experience and more the ability to craft a vision for the organization and lead it into the future with great wisdom, with great respect for the community, and with the ability to lead change in the community. Would there be opinions about this in this? And the next speaker I have registered is Adam.
I'm
just going to switch it back to something a little bit. Jean-Jacques, you mentioned advertising, and I understand that you actually saw the advertisement in The Economist at the time. I can tell you that George Sadowski and I were already going to approach you, so we didn't need The Economist advertisement. We'd already found you. We'd identified you. So it's an interesting thing, but there you are. So you thought you'd escaped. There's no escape from this nominating committee in the long run. Without concentrating too much on the directors again, and I think that's important, we do have 8 positions to select, so that's, you know, we're looking at the ALAC, we're looking at the GNSO and the CCNSO. If we can extend Alejandro's comment about what are the issues that we should be thinking of as we select candidates, what are the challenges that ICANN faces, and, you know, what advice can you give us as we start thinking about the candidate pool? Who do we need? What skills should we be looking for? And there's someone right down there.
So I had. I have.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Chris. Then I can't see your name from here. I'm sorry.
Didi.
Apologies for that. I had Vanda and Jean-Jacques. And we'll call for very compact statements to make use of the 20 minutes left.
Sure. Thanks, Alejandro. This is Chris Martin, member of last year's NOMCOM and this year's. You know, just in response to your question about transferring the horse trading from the GNSO or other areas to the nominating committee, and I'm certainly no elder statesman by any means, I think that last year's experience, which I was on, I had been warned about joining the nominating committee by a number of former members and that it could be contentious. And my experience was that it was anything but, that there was really a desire on the part of all the members to try to find the best people who could fill the positions and the constellation of positions that were necessary at the time to meet the challenges that ICANN faced. And I would just say that in my experience thus far, that last year as well as this year, that there hasn't been some of the contentious horse trading type atmosphere that you described.
I have Didi.
Yes, just in terms of advertising, if you really want CEOs, I think The Economist is an excellent place to go. But there are some publications that, for example, Media and Development or the Cominent website that have readers who are in development and in media and might be very good candidates. And I'm a little wary of the word statesmen.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, do you mean patriarchs?
I'd love to have as many matriarchs as possible. And and it's more a wisdom than a government issue. And I'm apologize for the gender bias.
But also the age bias. I mean, I do think it's important to have young people, you know.
I'll insert myself later in the list to clarify. They have Vanda, Jean-Jacques, and Marlene.
Yeah. Quickly, one point. The difficulty to have young people, especially young women, is exactly, even for ALAC or other issues, is the demand of workload. It's young, the people is connected to a job, is has kids, and the difficulty I face when I approach them, especially in Latin America, for instance, all the answer I got was, well, I cannot do that because my boss don't allow it, or I have no way to leave my kids for 10 days, or blah, blah, blah. So that things, it's important to think how we're going to fix that, because we really need renew people all the time. And we succeed with that with the people from the fellowship. But the fellowship, the people has one commitment, just that coming, that meeting. So people can manage to do that. When this become a everyday commitment, this is another issue. And people are not aware about that, and when they are aware, they just give up. That was my experience talking with more than 100 women this last two months around the Latin America, and well, I believe I got three or four.
Jean-Jacques, then Marlon.
Yes, it's about the criteria for recruiting. I'm still thinking about the board, but it may apply to other positions as well. I'd like to make the difference between inward-looking and outward-looking. I think that for obvious reasons, historic reasons, the first phase of the Internet, and especially of ICANN, was necessarily, in a way, inward-looking. I mean, you had to have the real specialists who knew how to take care of the nuts and bolts. I think that's less true today. And as we go forward, the Internet is more and more an equipment, a means of communication, etc., rather than an aim in itself. So for that purpose, I would say that we have to introduce more and more, as one of the criteria, not the only one, a possibility for some of these candidates to have very strong and already established powerful connections in other parts of civil society in emerging topics. For instance, the environment, civic rights, public diplomacy, funding of small projects, etc. So that is something which will carry great weight in the coming years.
Marlene, then myself.
I find it interesting that I keep hearing members of the community and the nominating committee use the title CEO without a recognition that senior management positions in many organizations, non-governmental and non-commercial and commercial, there's a significant amount of skills, knowledge, and expertise at the CIO level and senior vice president level. And you don't necessarily reach the audience that you need by focusing on the economists. There are, I think you've already begun talking about that, but if I were to think about Africa, for instance, and think about the CIO, the regional CIO magazine that does reach a huge number of business people of all sizes. So maybe, you know, as you develop your matrix, you might think about other titles beyond CEO. I also am not sure CEO is actually who should be on the board of ICANN.
Yes, please.
My name is Amber Sterling. As I was listening to this conversation, it might also be worth looking towards university professors or individuals who work for university. They run the universities in their various capacities. I know that many universities have technology licensing and management functions that could meet the needs of ICANN in terms of technical expertise and marketing and licensing and understanding the needs of how to run an organization and the needs of ICANN's various constituencies. And I'm from the U.S., and so I know of the U.S. organizations or trade associations affiliated with this, but I know that other associations exist around the world, and so you could get both the regional perspectives as well, and they mostly do have, like, the job boards and postings of that nature.
Anybody else?
Yeah, I got it. So.
Hi, I'm Jacqueline Morris. One of the things that I've come out of the ALAC, and I was appointed there by the NOMCOM, and now I'm the associate chair of this NOMCOM. And one of the things I'd like to ask people here is we spend a lot of time thinking about the board. But one of the places that I think that ICANN really needs to have people of caliber and quality is, especially going through the future, is in that ALAC, because it's where the next 6 billion are going to be. And those are the ones who are going to represent the biggest part of the stakeholders of ICANN. And I was wondering if anybody had any ideas about what kind of person we need to get there.
Any more views? Do we have something from the remote audience? Can you, the remote audience, communicate in any way through Twitter, Skype to me? Does Olaf have anyone there?
They can, and it's via Adobe Connect, where it's a chat room and a possibility to raise questions, but none such has emerged so far.
Well, let me be a little bit heavy-handed here. As even ICANN knows, there's people who choose to communicate using crowdsourcing and other parallel channels, despite the existence of an efficient channel. So I'm calling for that kind of a way of finding out as well. And there's, by the way, not for this session in particular, but there's also Twitter stream and live blogging and people undertake by themselves to communicate out of the session, and we should be sensitive to non-official, non-closed, non-technology closed, non-proprietary technology, etc., platforms for these interactions as well. Jean-Jacques, please.
Well, simply because the question was put very clearly about ALAC, two quick remarks. One is that coming into ALAC as a newcomer, I find that it's very much into process, for very good reasons, of course, and it covers a huge range of subjects. I would think of the ALAC in a year or two or beyond that as a place where it would be necessary to concentrate on a smaller number of subjects in order to have more impact. Because the challenge now is that with the AOC, the GAC is being given more consideration by its members to begin with. Sovereign states have been very neglectful, but now they find some interest in ICANN, so they're coming back. So this poses a challenge to the other SOs and ACs, and certainly to ALAC. So because there is no legal mechanism, I mean bylaws, to make the advice from ALAC as a sort of compulsory element and with a compulsory response from the board, there you have it. You either can change the bylaws, but I don't think that many people are willing to do that on the board just today, or you have to exercise influence by other means. And I think one of the other means is to have the courage to slate out a new set of priorities and to concentrate on these. That's the first point. The second point, in order to exercise influence, is to start from the standpoint that you can't escape the fact that we are all weaker than the GNSO and the GAC. So the only way, at least for the time being, to exercise influence is through a coalition approach of ALAC, for instance, suggesting, writing a draft position on something really important for the future and submitting it to maybe the GAC in order to get that forward. Does that answer your question?
I think we have to move to the next.
Adam Peak.
Yeah, thank you. I just wanted to have a very quick question. Thinking about the GNSO and the CCNSO, those are quite specific councils doing very in-depth work. And for any of you who are members of those councils, if you can ensure that the people that you've sent to the NOMCOM are best informed about the types of skill sets needed, I think it's quite complicated to understand what good candidates are for those particular positions. So please help the people you send to those councils. We don't have very much longer left, so if you can just jump on to the last slide, because there's a couple of things I'd like to mention. So, of course, we're hoping for statements of interest. The nominating committee webpage is nomcom.icann.org. you can apply directly online, which is /apply. A URL that is missing is nomcom.icann.org/suggest, which is this all-important way of recommending people for us. If you recommend those people, we will follow it up. And then that process has actually been extended as a deadline. Also, as of today, it is now March the 22nd for suggesting people, and then the final deadline at the moment is April the 4th. Something that is important coming up is that, two things. First of all, we will try and continue. I hope NOMCOMs in the future will hold more meetings like this, and they will be better organized and will do a better job. But we will try to communicate with the community as much as possible. I think that's very important that this continues. So that's something that I will try to promise to make sure that happens next year and ongoing. Something for next year is that the nominating will start afresh in the meeting, the AGM of this year. So that means that all the constituent parts of ICANN will have to start thinking about new delegates or resending delegates who are eligible. The sooner you do it, the better, because we can start thinking about travel arrangements. Please, if you are involved with selecting delegates, please try and encourage people. Please try and encourage your organizations to send us women NOMCOM members. We're a committee of 21, and we have 3 women. One is Jacqueline, who I was lucky enough to be able to support, to bring into the committee. The others are Vanda, who was from the Security Advisory Council Committee, and Maria Farrell from the NCUC. You know, we're somewhat handicapping ourselves if we have a large committee and we're all men. So when you have the opportunity, please think of sending us women delegates to this committee, and also people who have good networks. They have to be people who want to outreach. So with that, I think we can probably wrap up, unless Marilyn, what you want to...
I just have a quick question, but didn't understand it. I'm going to ask you to repeat it.
Yeah.
Marilyn Cade, you said please send us the nominating committee appointments for the next year as soon as possible, but as soon as possible does not translate into a calendar day.
Sorry, what I was saying is start thinking. I should have said please start thinking about it as something. We will probably ask you in Singapore to begin that process, but it's never too early to start rattling cages and saying this would be a great committee for someone interested in ICANN to get involved with. What it does do, it makes you think about the whole organization, and that's one of the really interesting things about the nominating committee, is that you have to think about everything from what the board needs to the CCNSO needs, the ALAC, so you really are looking at the whole organization, and that's quite interesting just as, you know, for someone who's participated in as a volunteer. Please help us find good candidates. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
Yeah.